This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Place to Be Nation. Welcome back to PTBN's NBA Team Podcast. I am one of your co-hosts, Andrew Reich, and I am joined by my regular co-host, Adam Murray.
Back with the Brian Pillman voice as usual.
I think you're going to have that for the rest of your life. I think you need to go see a doctor.
You know, Dr. Schmachter. You know, I went to this dentist once. It was Dr. Isaac Yankum. He didn't really do too much of a good job, so kind of afraid of the doctor route. So we're just going to do it naturally.
I'm scared of dentists as it is, so you can't get me in that room. We're talking about, you know, the NBA basketball, and we're already into the playoffs. I hope everybody is enjoying the NBA postseason. I wish that the first round that we've been going through lately had a little bit more, like, drama to it, but outside of maybe two series, I just don't really see much there. It's been fascinating in a small ways, but outside of that, I feel like a lot of people are just gearing up for round number two.
Well, basically, yeah. People forget round one is usually... Mm-hmm. You might have one surprise, but for the most part, it's just, you know, practice.
Practice?
Practice for round two. Hey, congratulations, your team somehow stumbled to the 8th seed, but mm-hmm. Yeah, you don't have much of a chance.
Yeah, and even the ones that are at least sort of kind of competitive and they hang around, you kind of know what the end game is there. You know, most 1 seeds don't lose. 2 seeds almost never lose. And so, you know, you kind of get a feeling of what's going to happen there. It's those 4 or 5 matchups that you're never sure of. And even those look a little one-sided.
Yeah, it's like the NCAA tournament. It's like, oh, that's great. You know, we could have a 1-15 or a, you know, or 1-16, 2-15. But for the most part, most of the games just suck.
Yeah.
And it's just like, yeah, okay. And you hope for one or two and...
Now, we did say when we did our first round preview that there are takeaways from the first round, even for teams that weren't that competitive and got swept, and teams that didn't seem to break a sweat. There are things that you can see and kind of take note of it as you go to the later rounds. But let's be serious. It's when you get to the conference semis and the conference finals that things really, really amp up big time. And we're just not there yet, but we're going to be there pretty soon. We'll be there with you all the way through when we get to the conference semifinals. We'll probably do a preview for you there. But we're actually going to be kind of going a little backwards on this occasion, and we're going to be talking about the teams that either just missed out on the playoffs or missed out on the playoffs by a country mile. We're going to be labeling these series of episodes Gone Fishing. You know, as you know, the tune that Kenny Smith made famous on TNT when as a cliche for teams that are pretty much done for the rest of the season, so they can just go do whatever they want. And this one, we're gonna be talking about the Western Conference. Just your overview of the Western Conference in general, because it was such a monster of a conference in terms of teams winning records. What did you think about these bottom teams?
Well, that's the thing is, like, you think, oh, well, the West, they have all the dominant teams. They also had the worst of the worst.
Mm-hmm.
They had, you know, you had teams like the Lakers and Minnesota and just Sacramento just couldn't get out of their own way the entire season. So for every, you know, for every Golden State, you have a Minnesota.
Yeah, it's the NBA is an empirical system. For every awesome team, you're going to have equally horrible teams. And it usually goes hand to hand, you know, from division to division. There was only one rare occasion in which every team in the same division made the playoffs, and that was the Southwest, you know. But if you look at the Northwest, only one team made the playoffs, and that was the Trailblazers. So we're going to be talking about quite a few of those teams in that division. The Pacific Division had a couple of interesting teams in different positions in their franchise, both good ways and bad, mostly bad. That's why they're on this show. So we're going to actually go ahead and get started with the Western Conference, and because we want to try to get through the garbage first, because, you know, the first segment sometimes is the throwaway segment. I guess we'll just go with the worst first. And that would be the – and they were actually the worst team in the NBA in general in terms of losing winning record, losing record. And that was the Minnesota Timberwolves at 16-66. Yikes.
Yeah, that's just depressing. It's not even like they're bad or trying to tank. It was just a depressing year for them. And
yeah, but they were clearly trying to tank in the last month.
That's the last month. And, okay, you have the sentimental, we traded, you know, we traded for Kevin Garnett. But, you know, the one thing people seem to forget, Rubio played 22 games, Pekovic 31 games, Kevin Martin 39 games. If you can't get your best three guys on the floor, what chance do you really have?
And those three guys were kind of in, you know, in different positions themselves. You know, Pekovic had a little bit of a down year after signing a new contract last season, and he followed suit with another disappointing year. He had all the injuries. Rubio had a badly sprained ankle early in the year. He never really recovered from it, even though he did have 8.8 assists, which shows that when he was on the court, he was an effective point guard. The problem was, you know, offensively, 10 points a game, still kind of the same. And then Kevin Martin missed a lot of time, but Kevin Martin, if you look at the numbers, had one of his best seasons. So, you know, I think they're actually in a decent position with Martin, who they still have under contract, and Rubio, who they just recently re-signed to a new deal. I don't know if he's the best option at point guard going forward, but because of the contract that they settled on, they're going to have to deal with Rubio.
But by default, he's the best option at point guard.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you're paying him, what was it, like 4 years, $55 million or something.
Yeah,
he's your guy. And you like Kevin Martin.
Yeah, well, I like that he gets to the free throw line, and I like that he's a good shooter. I don't know what happened that 1 year in Oklahoma City when he got put in the James Harden trade. It just seemed. Maybe it's just something that's wrong with Oklahoma City since that deal was made, but it just seemed like everything went wrong there. He went to Minnesota where the expectations are much lower, and I just felt like he did better. Maybe he just does better on bad teams. You know, maybe it's just one of those situations.
Just a guy to get stats. But the thing is, you like him, but do you think he's sort of taken away some touches and some points from Mr. Wiggins?
Well, Andrew Wiggins was a rookie last year. And he had a very good rookie year. He's likely to win rookie of the year, even though he did get some competition from Elfrid Payton and Nerlens Noel. A lot of people say if Jabari Parker never tore his knee, he would have probably been on his way to winning that rookie of the year award instead of Wiggins. But, you know, 16.9 points, 4 rebounds. He got to the free throw line. He averaged 4 free throws made per game. Really, really good rookie year if you look at the numbers. And defensively, I thought he was starting to turn a corner at the end of the year. I thought at the small forward spot, he was finding his way, and he was starting to really get a stronghold on that position in Minnesota. Let me put it this way. There's absolutely no way that Andrew Wiggins was going to get benched. No way. But it's baby steps. And I don't know if he was at a point where he can be the top scorer and be the number one guy scoring-wise for that team. So Kevin Martin taking away those points is actually okay. Now, when we get to year two and year three, and if Wiggins blossoms, and if Martin is trying to take away a lot of those shots by, you know, chucking up threes, yeah, that might be a problem down the road. But I don't see that happening because I don't know if Martin's going to be there by then.
No, I don't see him developing bad habits. It's just could his – well, Martin's he's there for 2 more years, so.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm just saying, do you think it could stunt his growth? Because they're sort of – Wiggins is just sort of like a – right now, like a larger Kevin Martin. He's not really, you know, slashing to the hoop as much as we thought he would be. Not really that physical guy.
He's a tentative attacker. Yes. I think it's because he doesn't rely on his body right now because he's so thin. But I think once he develops, it'll be kind of in the same way as Anthony Davis, in that once he really develops, once he gets some muscle mass, I think Wiggins will attack the ball more. He'll be more of a mid-range guy instead of a three-point guy, which I think he chucked up way too many threes. Kind of like you remember when Durant was a Seattle Sonic and all he did was chuck up threes? I kind of got the same feeling watching Wiggins in Minnesota.
Yeah. He seemed to settle for the outside shot a little too much.
You mentioned Rubio's injury. The guy who filled in for him at point guard and actually did okay in a couple of games was Zach LaVine. A lot of people know him for the spectacular display he had at the dunk contest. I mean, that's great. You can dunk, but can you play? Then there was Gorgui Jang, who filled in a lot for Pekovic. His numbers were solid. You know, he had nearly 10 points. He had 8.3 rebounds. He averaged almost two blocks. They got a real diamond there in the middle. I think he was like right outside the lottery in the.
No, he was like 23rd.
You see, that's the second time I've done that with the 2013 draft because I cannot remember who went where. So that means that Jang kind of went somewhere close to where Rudy Gobert went, right?
Gobert was 27th, I believe.
Yeah, they're both in the Northwest Division, big men, but they both worked out pretty well for their team so far. I'm not saying that Jang is like a definitive answer at center. You also mentioned Kevin Garnett. Let's just kind of get the question out there. Has Kevin Garnett played his last games?
No, I think he'll be back for one more year.
You think that him being there with the competitiveness and with the, you know, going in, being there in practice, you think that will help them for a full season under Garnett?
Oh yeah. He'll be the player coach. Cause you know, he's sort of like, you know, it's like a retirement tour for him. Cause he didn't really do anything this year. So, you know, being stuck in Brooklyn. So I think one more, you know, farewell round, teach these young kids how to play, how to act, because that's really half the battle. Is
yeah, very, very young team, sixth youngest team in the league.
Yeah, just how to be professionals and how to, you know, how to just be smart.
What they did right in terms of the team stats, they got to the free throw line a lot. You know, they were third in free throws made, which surprised me. I guess that kind of goes like what we were talking about with Kevin Martin and Andrew Wiggins, how they're really good at drawing fouls. They steal the ball a lot, and they have a high possession rate. They like to play fast. Outside of that, they were bottom 10 in the league and everything. They were by far the worst defensive team I saw in the NBA this year. By far, not even close.
Oh, yeah. When you have just rookies and you're signing guys who are just literally in the town that you are playing in because you have no bodies, never a good sign, which it's, you know, again, it just goes back to the depression factor because you have other teams who are tanking, who have quick fixes. And this just seems like this will be never ending.
No, it's like the Western Conference version of Philadelphia. It's kind of the only difference is that I feel like there are a few more pieces in place in Minnesota than there are in Philadelphia. In Philadelphia, it still feels more like a wait-and-see approach, whereas in Minnesota, they got Andrew Wiggins in that trade with Kevin Love. Anthony Bennett, I'm sorry, dude, 5 points, 4 rebounds. He's a nobody. I am sorry, dude, but you're a nobody. Robbie Hummel, no. Chase Buttinger, no. They did pick up Adrian Payne in that late trade with Atlanta when Atlanta just decided to dump him. And I thought Payne played okay for them. He was the big man out of Michigan State.
Yeah, but he didn't. He played okay. You could kind of say he played okay, but they gave up a first-round pick for him. And don't forget, we love, you know, Kevin Garnett's a nice story. It's a feel-good story. Everybody's happy. But the person they traded, Thaddeus Young, they traded number one pick for Thaddeus Young.
Mm-hmm.
So you can't, you know, you're like, oh, they're Philly, but Philly's just like, yeah, we're just going to buy more scratch-off tickets and hope we win.
Mm-hmm.
Minnesota doesn't even have that luxury. If Minnesota made the playoffs, their pick would have gone to Boston this year.
Yeah, I want to compliment Shabazz Muhammad for bouncing back, but he got injured early. His numbers were a little bit questionable because he didn't play an entire season, but 13.5 points was a far cry from what he did in his rookie year, which was absolutely nothing. People thought he wasn't even going to make it in the NBA.
Oh yeah, he bounced back from the Anthony Bennett numbers.
Yeah.
But Bennett, one more year. He's been injured solidly for the past 2 years.
He's a solid injury. That's a good way of describing him.
So is he, you know, is he done? I don't think so. So
I will go ahead and count him out just by watching him. It's like Otto Porter, man. Even in his second year, Otto Porter's turned a corner. With Anthony Bennett, just there's nothing there. There's just nothing there. I don't see it. That's just the naked eye. I mean, I hope the guy proves me wrong, but I need to see it. Okay, Adam Murray, and we might toss this between each other where you hand it to me and I hand it to you, but I'll go ahead and give it to you first. What do the Minnesota Timberwolves need to do?
Oh boy. What don't they need to do? That's the they need a true four.
A true power forward.
A true power forward. They don't have one. If you're playing, you know, Thaddeus Young, or even times I saw Wiggins playing the four, and you're just throwing people out there. They need another solid defensive, you know, they need a big four. Because, okay, they're going to be stuck with Rubio. They got Martin, and they got Wiggins. So they're pretty much set back there. And they got, you know, Zach LaVine. And, you know, they could use some more depth there. But their starters are set. You need a four. They have no starting four. They have no backup four. They have nothing.
They need a defensive presence, so I'm with you about the interior. My other question, too, even though it's not as much – even though we're not going to ponder it as much because of Rubio's presence with his contract, is that I want to know if Flip Saunders or whoever's going to be running the Timberwolves in the future, if they what they really want to do at the guard spot with Minnesota, whether they want to use LaVine as a two-guard and start him there, or they really want to go forward with Rubio as the de facto point guard where he's a distributor. Because I just feel like sometimes watching Minnesota that they're not absolutely certain, but I do agree with your side of it with the interior presence. I think they need to build that up first. If Karl Anthony Towns is there and they win the number one overall pick with the most ping pong balls in the draft lottery coming up, do you think Karl Anthony Towns, a true center, but a guy that you might be able to move to the four because of his athleticism, do you think Towns would be a nice addition?
I don't think either pick would be a bad one, him or Okafor.
Mm-hmm.
Okafor could fit in right there with Pekovic, being a defensive guy.
Because I think Pekovic could move to the four, too. I don't think that's a total, nonchalant type of thing.
No, because he can't get drawn out in the small four, and Pekovic is just a solid five with his size.
We'll do a quick roll call here with the unrestricted free agents are Gary Neal, Justin Hamilton, who I didn't even know was on the team, and Garnett, Robbie Hummel, Lorenzo Brown, Glenn Robinson III, who I think they let go already. Player option, Chase Budinger. I think he's going to take that one because that guy's got no value on the open market, to be honest with you. No team options and no restricted free agents.
I don't know what happened to Budinger.
He was okay in Houston his first 2 years there because he was kind of like – he was almost like Chandler Parsons. He was like the white guy that could really get up, but the problem was he didn't develop the – overall skills that Parsons developed in Houston. He just kind of stayed the course, and then he started settling on being a jump shooter.
Yeah, and then, okay, now that I look at it, this past year, 67 games, most games he's played in 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
So he's just another person who can't stay healthy. What they need is a doctor. I think they should just spend their pick on
Phoenix's doctor. You remember how just, Phoenix, you know, always cured people?
Spend their pick on Dr. Quinn Medicine Woman. Just somebody, anybody who can help you. I mean,
I didn't know we were in the 1993 version of the NBA team podcast. You know, this podcast has been going on for 22 years. It's only now that everyone's actually discovered it. Now the Los Angeles Lakers, they were actually it's still surprising to me that they were the second worst team in the West. I knew they would be bad. I didn't think they would be the second worst, but here they are. 21-61. Kobe Bryant missed a ton of games after tearing up his shoulder. Was it in January, or was it maybe in early February?
I don't know. He wasn't really there all season.
He averaged 22 points.
Averaged 22 points on 22 shots, probably. You know.
Yeah.
It's just not. He was not a factor, and the fact that just again, how anybody can let the Lakers be that bad is beyond me.
Well, the Lakers are gone fishing because
They have – they just said, okay, let's put Kobe Bryant with literally nobody.
Yeah, I think their goal was to not make the playoffs.
I think their goal was not to make the playoffs, but I don't think their goal was to be. I think right when Julius Randle went down 7 minutes into the season, they're like, okay, we're done. Let's just give up.
Well, I don't think Randle was like their saving grace anyway. I don't know how good he would have been. Maybe it's because we didn't actually watch him. It's like Blake Griffin when he because people don't remember this, but he was actually going to be a rookie in the 2009-2010 season, but he broke his kneecap. So he missed the entire season with the Clippers. And people were like, well, we don't really know how good Blake Griffin is yet. Then in the 2010-11 season, he busted out. I don't know if Julius Randle is that kind of player. I know a lot of people were happy when he was drafted there because they thought he was a little bit of a steal. His preseason, he looked okay, but that's preseason. You know, and so I wonder what he can do. I think he will be a starting four there right beside Jordan Hill, who's got a team option for and I got a feeling they're going to pick that up.
Oh, of course they're picking it up. Yeah. It's, but, you know, with the team, the Lakers is – they wanted to be bad but not tank. Like, you know, they – you know, the fact that that Steve Nash trade just backfires on them left and right.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't help, and then, okay, let's get Jeremy Lin. We still think he can play. Let's get Carlos Boozer. He can put up numbers. And...
Now, Boozer shot 50% from the field, but in terms of his ability to, you know, be a presence in the middle, not there anymore. He can't do it anymore.
Yeah, he couldn't do anything. And the one, really, I think the one bright side was Ed Davis.
Who has a player option and is going to explore free agency.
He's gone. It was just a 1 year, you know, okay, we'll pay you the minimum, just come out and play.
He was originally in Toronto, then wound up in Memphis, and he just kind of floated to L.A. somehow. I don't remember how it happened.
Memphis just didn't re-sign him.
Yeah, and he did, and played very well in L.A. I got to give him credit there.
And that's what basically L.A. was just like a tryout team this year. Like, if you look at their roster, Wesley Johnson, Ed Davis, Xavier Henry.
Dwight Bikes, Wayne Ellington.
Yeah, it was just like, do you guys have talent? Come show it. This is your tryout season. We'll give you a 1 year minimum deal. Show us what you got. And then, of course, everybody sucked.
Yeah. It's one of those situations where everyone knew it too, because like the Knicks, who are on the other side of the conference that we'll talk about in a separate episode, but they were on television so much because they're the Lakers and because of Kobe. And even when Kobe was out for the season, they still had this, you know, bought out TV time. So they were there having these games on TNT, getting blown out and embarrassing themselves. So, you know, their failures were a little more visible than teams like Minnesota and Sacramento, because they were always on national television. That's just the Laker way. They're always on the main networks.
Yeah, and that was, you know, sort of their downfall. I just blame them for putting a team out that bad.
Let me ask you this. Is Nick Young a bad player?
No, he's just a dumb player. He's just cut from that mold of just the Ricky Davis, the Gilbert Arenas, is the Ron Artest, that we have talent, but we just have baggage, mm-hmm. and we're not going to find ways to get rid of it. And, you know, like, you read articles now, like, they're looking to trade him.
Well, so he's got 3 years left. I don't know if anyone's going to take that money on, is the problem.
Yeah, but it's 3 years, 15, so it's not really that much, especially coming to the new doomsday, everybody gets overpaid.
Yeah. Byron Scott was in his first year as the head coach. Everybody was saying that they weren't going to take a lot of three-pointers and that they were going to take nothing but mid-range, which made people laugh. But the truth is they took more threes than some other teams did. So they weren't like the worst three-point shooting team in the league, even though they were 25th. The real key to what made them horrible was their defense. They were 28th in points allowed, 28th in field goal percentage defense, which is just horrendous. They could not stop anybody, and they couldn't make any shots. They were 25th in field goal percentage on offense. They are not very young. Their bench is bad. The only thing they did well was rebound, and that's because of Jordan Hill and Carlos Boozer and Ed Davis and Tariq Black, another guy that we didn't talk about who kind of just floated in L.A. What do the Lakers need to do?
They need to just not sign retreads. Yeah, it was with Tariq Black, where everyone was like, oh, well, he's a first-team rookie because – you know, he played decent for the Lakers. It's like, no, come on.
Well, he started out good for Houston, filling in for Dwight. But once Dwight came back, Black was off the Black was on the outs.
Yeah, so it's just like all they did was just sign retreads. I don't see any. Sakurai might be the only draft pick on the team.
Yeah,
it was just let's just look through the bargain basement. Let's go to Walmart. Let's get the $5 DVD bin. There might be something that's good on there. It might be something decent. And then, you know, every player, you know, Jordan Hill was their one signing. Mm-hmm. And all he's just a stretch five who just wants to shoot, you know, shoot jumpers.
Their free agency is going to be interesting this year, but I think there is a possibility that we're going to have like another push of the button on the retreads. Cause if you look at it, their team options are Jordan Hill, Jabari Brown, and Jordan Clarkson, who are rookies. Jordan Clarkson had a very good year, filling out at the guard spot for Kobe. Robert Sacre, and then look at your unrestricted free agents. It's a pretty long list. Carlos Boozer, Jeremy Lin, Wayne Ellington, Wes Johnson, Dwight Bikes, Tariq Black, Xavier Henry. The only ones who are still committed to that team past 2016, and that includes Kobe Bryant, the only two that are going to be signed beyond that are Nick Young and Julius Randle.
Yeah, and they're for, you know. So basically what, you know, They were 1 year rentals. That's all it was.
But will they rent them for another year?
No, I don't think any of those guys are going to be back for another year. They're just going to.
I think Clarkson and Brown will be back because I think they'll try to develop those two guys alongside Randall.
Oh, the ones they have options on?
The team options. I think they'll pick.
Yeah, okay. So they'll get them because they're cheap.
But the UFAs, the unrestricted.
They're gone. They were just 1 year tryouts. They all failed. So with that said. There's a lot of roster spots. What do you do?
Well, this also might, even though he says he doesn't want it to be like a farewell tour where they're giving him the rocking chairs in visiting arenas, but I think this is it for Kobe next year. I think this is going to be his swan song, you know, and we'll see how it goes. I don't know if he's going to want to go quietly into that good night, but I think something's going to happen there where there's going to have to be a decision made of whether they really want to keep Brian after his $25 million in 2015-16. Oh, my God. Is actually off the books. So it's going to be fascinating what they do in L.A. because they're going to have so much cap space after in this summer and next summer. The big question, though, is when do they make the big move? Do they make the big move this year or do they make the big move next year? That's what we're not sure about.
This year, I think they're just going to start overpaying people. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, like Rondo killed his value. So be like, oh, we can get him cheap. Maybe he'll want to play in LA with Kobe. He wanted to play there before.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we'll resurrect his career. And they're just going to do that. I think they're going to spend money this year. They can't have another year of just this god awful misery.
But we've talked about that before with the idea of, well, I can save him. Another man's trash is another man's treasure. And almost every time, it fails. Almost every time.
It fails, but with this time, they're not going to be paying Rondo max money. Rondo cost himself like $40 million easily.
Yeah, but if he fails again, guess what? It's going to be the Lakers' failure if they sign him, because that's the big rumor that L.A. is going to be after Rondo in the summer. We're going to be staying in California for the next worst team in the West, and that was the Sacramento Kings. They actually started out okay under Mike Malone. They hit a snag in December, and then boom, Mike Malone was fired by Vivek Ranadive, the owner, for reasons I still can't have explained to me. Tyrone Corbin filled in. He was worse than Malone. And then they finally made the hire for George Karl, even though DeMarcus Cousins, who is Sacramento's best player, objected to it.
Yep, that team is...
Now, there's something there. Like, I don't think the Kings are completely lost. Like, I watch other teams, I'm like, oh, there's no hope here. With Sacramento, you've got one of the best centers in the league, if not the best.
Sacramento, you have a bad front office.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause you know who I learned was on this team this week when I was doing, you know, I was reading up on them?
Who's that?
Carl Landry.
Yeah, who they signed from Golden State.
I forgot about him, how he was, you know... He was doing, he was like, you know, the 30th first pick or whatever. He was like,
yeah, he came from Purdue. He played for the Rockets. Then he played for the Kings, Hornets, back with the, he went back to the Kings.
But wherever he went, he was that energy guy. He was the one. He was that.
Well, he was hurt. He had torn his Achilles in the summer, so he missed like the entire season in 2013-14.
And yeah, it's just like I forgot he was on the team, and then they're paying him almost $7 million a year.
Okay, why are the Sacramento Kings not playing in the playoffs right now?
Dysfunction. Dysfunction, you know, just firing the coach because, you know, all you do is say is, you know, we had an upper management disagreement, but to be like, well, he wasn't as competitive as I thought he'd be, so we're firing him.
But that's the funny part. They were competitive under Mike Malone. The problem was Malone was more competitive than the players were in the press conferences.
They were overachieving, and then it's just – the problem with them is just they're really haven't – they're just bad front office is what has kept them back, I think.
With a new coach in George Karl who worked wonders in almost everywhere he's gone, Seattle, Milwaukee, Denver, do you think he inherited a team that was kind of in a state of dysfunction, like you said. With a full season there, do you think he'll be able to do something in Sacramento, or do you think this is the end of the line for the magic touch?
No. This year, I expect nothing. Next year, I expect nothing from him. But you can't turn around a team with your guys in 1 year.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to take a while, and it's like, oh, well, DeMarcus Cousins doesn't like him. You know they could get, like, a King's ransom for him, no pun intended. Mm-hmm. They could get a lot for him. You could get legitimate all-stars in return for DeMarcus Cousins.
So you're saying trade okay, let's start with that. What do the Sacramento Kings need to do?
They need to, again, like Minnesota, they need to get a power forward. If you have, you know, all we talk about is Jason Thompson is just the definition of a mediocre player.
Yeah, but he's one of those, like, lifers. Like, the team loves him and they'll never let him go. Kind of like Gerald Henderson in Charlotte.
But he's not somebody who should be starting. And then you have Derek Williams, Carl Landry. They're your backups. You know, you just have – if you're doubling Cousins, Rudy Gay has been still productive there. Trading, getting rid of Isaiah Thomas was even more of a question mark since he's flourished in Boston.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, drafting Sauce Castillo, who is Ben
Stauskas.
McLemore.
Nick Stauskas.
You know, it's you draft the same player twice in 2 years.
Well, Ben McLemore started to get a little better this season, his second year. Stauskas is a rookie. He didn't really do much. But you are right about that. If Stauskas improves, it'll be the same kind of improvement McLemore had, which makes you wonder, why did you draft the same type of player?
Exactly. Why are you drafting your own backup when you have bigger pressing needs? And like I said, it's just their draft picks have sort of just missed. And then Derek Williams, you know, he tries. I watch him play.
This doesn't count for anything, but he had a mammoth dunk on Bismack Biyombo late in the year. He had a couple of games where he just kind of sparked. And it was obvious that he's coming up in free agency. His qualifying offer is at $8 million. That's not happening. Which means he's going to walk in free agency, which gives
him... His qualifying, I think, went down because he didn't hit the markers.
Okay. Well, even if it goes down as the numbers...
Keeping him. They're not keeping him at all.
I mean, because what's the chances that they reject the they don't give him the qualifying offer any signs there anyway for lower rent? It's very unlikely.
Oh, it's going to say... let's welcome our newest...
Our newest free agent, the same guy.
Our newest LA Laker, Derek Williams, and you know, our newest LA Laker, Anthony Bennett. You know, it's just this team. They have players, they just don't have a full team yet.
I think, and I know Darren Collison did okay there.
Ray McCollum came up at the end of the season.
Yeah, a little bit. Defensively, they're so bad. What I think they need. Is that they need a real – and they don't grow on trees, okay? But there's a lot of them like we talked about in the point guard episode. They need a really good two-guard. They need a guy that can dominate the ball and is a leader. Kind of like Chauncey Billups did in Denver when George Karl was there. They need a guy like that. Now, where he is, I don't know. But that's what they need. I don't think a rookie guard will help them. I think they need to find it in a trade. If you have to trade McLemore or Stauskas or Collison to do it, I think you should just go ahead and do that. I think that would probably be a really good answer there, because George Karl's always had good point guards with him everywhere he's been when the team's been good, and I don't think Darren Collison's the answer there.
Yeah, they need that, and I think the second thing they need is veteran leadership.
Mm-hmm.
You need somebody to keep Cousins in line, to keep the team focused, and just not let them get away, because, you know, going through coach after coach after coach, not looking too good.
Yeah, and their bench was bad, but I think they can be bolstered if Stauskas gets better, if you move McLemore to the bench as a sixth man and try to, like, sign a couple of veterans to be starters, you know, leaders, like you say. Their offense wasn't bad. They were great at getting to the free throw line because Rudy Gay and JaMarcus Cousins constantly draw fouls. It was the defense that was the number one problem. That was the same defense that gave up 37 points in a quarter to Klay Thompson. I think they also gave up 50 points to James Harden twice. So, you know, that's the one category that absolutely needs to be fixed on the defensive end. They've got to get better at blocks, steals, deflections. They need more energy. I think Karl can provide that, but it was so late in the season that I knew it wasn't going to be just a quick turnaround.
Yeah, he'll provide energy, but the thing is, Karl is not known for defensive teams.
No.
So that might be sort of in their favor. You don't play defense? All right, we'll focus on your strengths. The one quality signing they had, Omri Caspi.
Yeah, who they had before.
Then he bounced around. He's in Cleveland. Then
they got him in the Jason Terry trade because Houston lost out on their guards. So they needed Terry, and they had to trade Caspi over to Sacramento. Caspi had a very good year in Sacramento.
Very solid year for a backup, and it's just again, I still say they need size. You need to get Jason Thompson out of the starting lineup.
He's got two more years, so you're just going to have to convince somebody that could take him. Even though he's played for the same team for his
You can move him to the bench. There's nothing wrong with him becoming that Brandon Bass, seventh, eighth man.
I like that idea.
Yeah. But you need him out of the starting lineup. And, you know, Rudy Gay, DeMarcus Cousins, nice 1-2, but as you've seen, as I think we sort of learned, we need a point guard on that team.
Yeah.
Not a young guy, you just need like an old veteran.
Yeah, free agency roll call is kind of lackluster here. Your unrestricted free agents are Andre Miller, Reggie Evans, Ryan Hollins, and your restricted free agent, and the only one is Derek Williams. So you're probably going to see pretty much the same team next year unless they make a big trade.
Want to make a big trade. They want to. They were in the running for Josh Smith. They're in the running for Rondo.
Darren Williams.
So it's not like they're against it.
Yeah. Well, we talk about a team that George Karl is now coaching in Sacramento, and now we're going to be talking about a team that probably wishes that George Karl was still coaching there, and that's the Denver Nuggets. 30-52. I think a lot of people would be surprised if they listened to the previews and then they heard in the future that this is what their record was, because I think they were better than that. Brian Shaw was fired infamously because the players quit on him and then started playing hard again when Melvin Hunt took over as the interim coach. I don't know if Melvin Hunt will still be there. What's your take on that?
No, I don't think he'll be there. No. As exciting as he was, he looks like he was having fun. He was having more fun than the players were on the bed, but it's just, you know.
Ty Lawson was having a lot of fun. He just got arrested in doing so.
It's just that team. No, it's a desirable location. That's the one problem I have with it, is the team just they have talent. They just don't know how to put it together.
Well, we mentioned how talented they are, and they are. You know, Ty Lawson, Kenneth Faried, who got a big contract, Yosef Nurkic, who's a rookie, J.J. Hickson, Randy Foy. These are decent players. Why are the Nuggets not in the playoffs?
Because they quit on their coach. There's nothing you could do if your players quit on you.
I mean, it's a shame that it came down to that. It really did. I'm not saying Brian Shaw is a great coach. It's just a shame that he was made an example of by a bunch of morons.
Yep, that just happens when you have zero leadership in the locker room. And, you know, I was sort of surprised when, you know, it continued when you had Jameer Nelson who came over. mm-hmm. who's been, you know, in on winning situations, and he's just like, whatever, I don't care anymore. And even he quit, and it's just, you know, when you have, I guess what comes down to when Ty Lawson's a leader, you're not in good shape.
Yeah, Ty Lawson. Now I see why Billups was the guy while Lawson was the backup, because Billups was like the guy that would kind of bolster the team in the locker room. Lawson is not that kind of a guy. Now, I know they had success when Lawson was the starting point guard, when they had like JaVale McGee, Aaron Aflalo. I'm trying to remember some of the other players that they had around that time. Danilo Gallinari, who's still there. He probably had his best year since 2013 when he tore his knee up. Well, I don't think he played at all because he tore his knee twice, but he had 2 40-point games late in the season, so he started to show signs that he could get back to what he once was. But it's obvious to me that Gallinari's best days that we've seen him already.
Yeah, that's a shame. And then J.J. Hickson fell off the map.
Mm-hmm. He's in the last year next year, so I don't expect him back after that one. Their free agency is a little weird. Their only restricted free agent is a guy that they picked up in a trade. And that was Will Barton. But Will Barton is a solid player. I remember watching him in Portland and thinking, man, that's a really good, true small forward. You know, he averaged 11 points, almost 5 rebounds, over 1 steal. Like, I think he could be a good value if you can get him for about $7 million as a restricted free agent. So I want to see if Denver tries to retain his services. Your unrestricted free agents are Darrell Arthur and Victor Claver, who didn't even play at all. Your player option is Jameer Nelson, and your team options are Wilson Chandler and Randy Foy. So, you know, Wilson Chandler, there were rumors he was going to be traded all over the place, and it didn't happen. So I wonder if the team will pick up his option. He was the second leading scorer on the team.
Those are interesting. Mm-hmm. Those are very interesting, like, player team options.
Yeah.
Because Foy and Chandler, they're sort of, Foy's kind of older now.
Yeah, but Foy has his moments. Like, I remember he had a game where he had, like, 20 assists. Like, he just busts out sometimes. He's not a bad player.
He has his moments, but they're both at that, they've peaked, they have nothing left to show us.
True.
Like, Wilson Chandler, okay, he is who he is. He's not going to give us anything more than he's already given us.
Those are perfect Dallas Maverick bench guys.
Yes.
Guys that Mark Cuban would say, I'll give you a chance. You know, now Rondo had failed, obviously, but, you know, with these guys, when it's at a lesser cost, maybe he'll do it. I don't know about Will Barton. Like, I think he's a solid player, and I think the analytic people, you know, that are in that room with these GMs in the summer, I think they're going to convince one of these teams, hey, maybe we should sign Barton as, like, a good sixth man and overpay for him, but he'll pay off because we know he has a higher ceiling.
Yeah, but then that comes sort of like the Jody Meeks thing, where it's just like,
How far do you overpay?
Yeah, how far, like, is he okay? But people like him are just, you know, to me, they're out there. There's always one you could get. Mm-hmm. There's always a second rounder you could find in the draft who can replace him in a year. You know, there are people out there who
What do the Denver Nuggets need? A leader?
They need a leader.
A hero?
Because
holding out for a hero to the end of the night?
They need a leader or a hero because, okay, Hickson will be back. You're like, oh, he's gone. But contract year, I got a funny feeling he'll be like, oh, I want to play again. I found my mojo again. Who knew?
I think either Fareed or Lawson needs to step in and say, I want to run the show. I'm the man.
It was supposed to be Lawson's team.
Yeah, but he doesn't want to be the man. He didn't pipe in. You know, or pipe up when things got bad. That's why the team went down the poop chute.
Well, there was already, you know, at the beginning of the season, remember, people, there was word that all the teams were angry because they thought Fareed got overpaid and mm-hmm. he's a different player now and, mm-hmm. you know, the money went to his head and they just need, you know, the problem we had with them all year was the lack of identity. You have all these great, you know, assorted players who have talent. Gallinari on another team would be good. Chandler, another team, would be good. It's just this mismatch just didn't work out.
Yeah, they want to run. I mean, the Nuggets' history is that they always run. You know, so I think we're going to see more of that, regardless of who the coach is, whether Melvin Hunt is retained or if they hire somebody, you know, outside of the circle. But, you know, in terms of, like, pace, I think they're going to pick it up again, kind of like they did under Carl. They tried the defense physical thing with Brian Shaw, and it just – it was like oil and water. They need to bolster their bench. If that – maybe that's helped by Gary Harris and Josef Nurkic. If they play better, that'll make the bench better automatically. So, you know, time will tell with that. Defensively, they have to get better. But, I mean, how much better can you get on defense if your players all want to run?
You don't need to get really defensive. You just need – basically, they need to sort of keep developing their picks. They brought over their number one pick, Joffrey Laverne.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he didn't show me anything either way.
Picked the same year as Fournier, but the difference was that they moved Fournier.
Yeah, and Fournier, he hasn't really...
Yeah, he's in Orlando.
He's just sort of there still.
Mm-hmm.
But with Denver, it's just you need to... They need to keep their picks, and they need to get more talent over there and develop their team as opposed to getting... assorted castaways. Because yeah. Look at the
I think the mindset's got to change, because the mindset for the last couple of years is, well, you've been in the playoffs all these years in a row, so now you have to make the playoffs. I think that the fans and the GM have to kind of bring it down and say, look, let's just build this team from the ground up.
Yeah, well, you can't tear it down all the way, because you have people who, although they're not the number one guy, you have a lot of number two and three options.
Oh, they got options there. I mean, they have the option. They have enough pieces in there to be a good team.
They don't need to tear it down. They need one or two trades.
Mm-hmm.
You need to move some pieces.
Yes.
You don't need to tear it down. Just the little moving around, I think.
We're staying in the Northwest Division for our next one, and this one's actually a surprise. I think we probably were thinking we were going to be talking about this team earlier in the show with a worse record, but they weren't. It was the 38-44 Utah Jazz. Were you shocked that they won 38 games?
No, because they didn't they get hot in the end when everybody else started tanking?
Well, when they made the Cantor trade, which was when Cantor got moved to Oklahoma City for Kendrick Perkins, who they immediately bought out having no mind of actually playing him. That put in Rudy Gobert as a starting center alongside Derek Favors, and that turned them into a really good interior defensive team. And they wound up being first in the league in points allowed, one of the best defenses in the league.
Yeah, the team, that was a wonderful trade for them. And basically, you know, going back to the previews, we said, can Cantor and Favors play together? And obviously the answer was no. But, you know, they also ended hot. Mm-hmm. So you can be like, oh, do you expect them to win 38 games? But when you're playing your last games against the Sacramentos and the Lakers and the Timberwolves, it's not, you know, the difference between them is they finished 7-3. The last four teams... 3-7, 2-8.
Mm-hmm.
So, and 0-10.
They didn't give up. They actually tried at the end. Quinn Snyder was in the first year as a head coach. A lot of people know him from his college days when he coached at Missouri. He had coached, I think, in the EuroLeague. He had been an assistant with the Atlanta Hawks. He did very well. A lot of people were saying that they were going to be like the San Antonio Spurs type of motion offense. I did not see that at all with them. They were actually last in the league in assists. What they were a really strong-minded defensive team, but with smaller guards. So they were very reliant on their forwards and their bigs to kind of make everything go. Gordon Hayward, who's their starting small forward, a lot of people thought he got overpaid by getting max money, but he had a very good year. I could have almost made a case Hayward could have been an all-star.
No, agreed. He was the most probably underrated player in the league this year.
19 points, 4 assists, 1.4 steals, got to the free throw line for 5 makes a game. I mean, that's solid. That's star-level numbers. I mean, even though people don't think he looks like a star player, I mean, he definitely showed it in his statistics. The other thing I want to mention about Favors is I remember there was a point where the front court was so overloaded because you had just drafted Enes Kanter, and you had Paul Millsap, Al Jefferson, and then Derek Favors, who they got in the Deron Williams trade. And I always wondered, what's the end game here? Like, who is going to wind up being – once the carousel has done spinning, who is the guy that's going to wind up being the star in the front court for the Jazz in the future? And it turned out to be Derek Favors.
Yeah.
What's your opinion of him? Because a lot of people don't really know him.
He's still, to me, he's still developing. Like, you watch it and he still has flashes.
Mm-hmm.
Even though he's getting paid like a star, there's you still see some mental mistakes. And
he's kind of like DeMarcus Cousins.
He looks like he should be doing better than what he's doing. I'll put it that way.
Yeah, but at 16 points and 8 rebounds and, you know, almost 2 blocks, that's not bad. You know, is it star player good? No.
Well, the thing is, you forget, he's been in the league for 4 years now, but he's only 23 still. So it's at what point, you know, he's developing sort of slowly. His numbers are good, but do you think they might be just a smidge better on a team where he's the go-to guy?
Well, if their defense stays this way, you know, maybe they're kind of trying to pattern it a little bit like Memphis. Only difference is that they don't have two bigs like Memphis. This one only has one. Well, you know, you could say Gobert, but Gobert's not an offensive option, I guess is what I'm trying to say. But if Favors develops along with Gobert as a rim protector, which is really what he is. He's a rebounder, he's a shot blocker, but he's really good at it because of his height and also his ability to move. Along with Gordon Hayward, if all three of those guys develop and you see another step up, especially for Favors, this could be a playoff team. I mean, it's hard to say that in the West, but it could be a playoff team.
Well, that's the problem right now, I think, with me, is, okay, you had your rebuilding. You're officially rebuilt now. You can't continue to tank, or
that's
you can't
true.
Continue to be...
Like, at what point it's like, okay, we got to win now. This happened to the Pelicans. Like, a year in with Anthony Davis, it's like, okay, we got to win.
You have all... Well, New Orleans is a different case, and we'll get to them whenever they get eliminated, which I assume will be sooner than later, given they're going against Golden State. But... you have all this young talent, and Orlando must be, like, studying them with a microscope. Mm-hmm. You have all these young players. Now you're starting to – you have to pay them. Mm-hmm. Hayward got his contract. Favors got his contract. Alec Burks got his contract. And it's just like, now you can't be that young team anymore.
I think the front court's set. Like, I think in terms of what they need to do, I think their front court's fine. Like, I don't think they have to make any changes. If you even Trevor Booker, who did very well, he has a team option. I very much expect them to pick it up. I think they're good there. I think the problem is at the guard spot. You know, Trey Burke, they wound up realizing that he was better off the bench as an energy guy. He led the team in assists. He's a nice player. But Dante Exum, they got nothing out of him. And I don't know if they're going to get anything out of him. They got so desperate for guards that they had to pick up Bryce Cotton and Elijah Millsap off the street. You know, they had to play Joe Ingles more minutes than he legally shouldn't be allowed to play in the NBA, you know? Australian, you know, wandering type of player and somehow winds up playing major minutes on an NBA team. That was just how desperate they were at the guard spot, especially after Alec Burks suffered an injury after re-signing. I don't know how good Burks really is anyway. I don't even know if he's a true point guard. What I think they need, absolutely need, Adam, is I think they need an athletic wing because they got so desperate at the small forward spot with their lack of athleticism that they had to play Rodney Hood major minutes.
Well, you see, that's what sort of worries me is Hood essentially replaced Burks.
Yes.
And for a fraction of the money, put up pretty much the same numbers. So I don't know whether that's good for Hood, bad for Burks, or I just found that stat to be interesting.
I think their idea was that Jeremy Evans was going to develop into that player, but it just never happened. You know, at the small forward spot, I mean. Now, listen, Gordon Hayward, I just talked about as a small forward, but you can move him at the guard spot if you have to, depending on what set you run. You know, but what I'm talking about is like a wing defender or kind of like a Kawhi Leonard, a guy who can go between guard and forward, somebody like that.
Well, Hayward was also bouncing between, you know, small ball, he's a four, he'd be at two, he was all over the place.
Yes.
Like you just said, it's just with... With Jeremy Evans, it was just sort of a, let's hope we buy low and he'll be a steal. And it's just, you know, that's what you can buy low and then just sort of, again, bargain basementing it. And,
yeah,
you know, they had somebody like that with Wesley Matthews many years ago, but then He had to go get paid.
What do you think they need? And how many moves are they away from being good?
Two.
And so what do you think the first move is?
The first one is you need to figure out what are you doing with your backcourt. What are you doing with this Burke?
It gets confusing.
You know, what are you doing with that? It's a logjam already. Mm-hmm. And Rodney, you can even throw Rodney Hood.
It's kind of like the logjam they had in the front court with Millsap and Jefferson and Favors. Now all of a sudden in the backcourt you have the same problem. Because you can't make up your mind.
Number two, decide what team you're going to be. If you want to be a defensive shutdown team, get a defensive, you know, a two guard, you know, a 2-3 defensive guy.
Yes. That's my opinion. I think they need an athletic guy. Kind of like, I don't know if he's a perfect fit, but like, you know, Justin Anderson at Virginia. Like a guy like that, I think he'd be a great fit there. Someone who could just defensively get down, or Tony Allen in Memphis. Somebody who could just get down and dirty. That's what I want.
Oh, I was gonna say a Sam Decker in the draft.
Decker, you know, we'll talk about draft at another time, but I think he could play a four almost in the NBA. He's that kind of scary good.
Like I think a player like Decker on this team, where he could bounce, you have multiple people who could play multiple positions.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
All defensively strong, I think that he would be a good fit there.
Yeah, because in the backcourt, that's their problem. They're all kind of interchangeable. Like Dante Exum, they say he has point guard skills, but he's a standard shooting guard. And Trey Burke is he likes to shoot, but he's a traditional point guard. It's like, dude, you got to figure out what your roles are here. You know, that's why Memphis slowed things down, but became successful with their defense.
Exactly.
They knew what they wanted to do.
Trade number two, which sort of negates number one. They need a shooter. They just need a Lou Williams, a J.R. Smith.
A Kyle Korver.
Just somebody who's not going to give a shit and just shoot 20 shots a game. Because they don't have anybody like that right now.
All right. Now, we talked about a team that was a bit of a surprise this season. Now we're going to talk about a team that was a surprise last season and was continuing with surprising fans until the trade deadline when in essence, I believe that they really blew up their backcourt, and that was the Phoenix Suns. This one's simple, but I'll throw it out to you as a softball. Why are the Phoenix Suns not in the playoffs?
Well, because their management blew up the team. Not really much you can do if you're just...
But why did they blow up the team?
Nobody knows. Oh, Dragic hurt their feelings. Okay, that doesn't mean you trade him for absolutely nothing.
They were anticipating that player option, thinking that they were going to get nothing in return.
Yeah, they're thinking get nothing in return, but is really a 2021 draft pick and Danny Granger the best you could get?
Mm-hmm.
That was a panic move. You don't forget, they also traded for Brandon Wright to shore up their defense. Mm-hmm. Who was pretty solid, I thought. And
he did okay, but he never became a de facto starter. I mean, in fact, Alex Len probably was more of a defensive presence than Brandon Wright.
No, Brandon Knight's never going to be a starter, but I'm saying to shore up your big men on the bench, mm-hmm. you brought him in. And then I just don't – that's just – nobody knows what happened to the Phoenix Suns. And then you bring in Brandon Knight. Oh, he was our guy all along. Okay, so now you're going to pay him the Dragic money? You're going to max him out, somebody who's really had one good year under Jason Kidd?
Mm-hmm.
He didn't really show me much in Phoenix.
Well, they gave Eric Bledsoe the big money, you know, because the Milwaukee Bucks were after him. And they decided, okay, we're just going to re-sign him so that we make sure that he doesn't stay as a restricted free agent or he doesn't take his tender offer so that he can run free as an unrestricted free agent this summer. So they signed him up. And they may have overpaid a little bit to keep him, but he's a really good point guard, and I understood it. Now with Dragic traded, and then trading Isaiah Thomas, and it has nothing to do with how well he played in Boston. I didn't understand the trade when it happened. I don't understand it even more now. But then after you dumped Isaiah Thomas alongside Dragic, it really left Bledsoe in a bind, because it was kind of like handing him the keys, here you go, run the team. And oh, by the way, you're right in the thick of a you're on the outside looking in a very competitive playoff race. Let's see if you can get on a winning streak. It was way too much pressure for him. And Brandon Knight also suffered an ankle injury, and he's also an he's all a restricted free agent, so he might not come back.
Yeah, though I could see a team like the Knicks just, you know, going trying to overpay for somebody. I can see them sort of targeting
him. If the
him
Knicks being... overpay for Brandon Knight, I will laugh my ass off.
Yeah, but they have a history of overpaying for bad people. Mm-hmm. But it was just, like I said, you trade one, you don't trade both. Mm-hmm. And I don't have an answer why this team didn't make the playoffs, because they were just cut off at the knees. And
what do the Phoenix Suns need?
They took too many steps back to need anything to get back, I think.
They need a star.
I don't even know if a star would help them, because...
I think it could help, because I think their bench is okay, and I think that their rookies are developing.
They overachieved last year, and this year Hornacek looked lost. Mm-hmm. The team sort of, you know, how does Gerald Green going from, you know, comeback player potential to, we don't need him anymore.
Well, he's an unrestricted free agent, too. So maybe they were limiting his minutes so that he had lesser value in the open market. But that's just conspiracy talk.
Like, you haven't, you know, they have a history of not paying, you know, selling their draft picks for nothing. Mm-hmm. And, you know, how good is their bench? Who do they have left?
I do think McDonough's smart, though, the general manager. Because T.J. Warren, who is a rookie out of NC State, he played pretty well. Like, at the end of the year when he got more shine. Archie Goodwin, decent. Like, I don't think he's a bad second-year player at all, even though his development's a lot slower than others. And Alex Len started turning a corner, and I like how chippy he is. He's not afraid to fight another guy. You know, and the Suns kind of needed that chippiness along with Markieff and Marcus Morris, who are in the fold for another couple of years. P.J. Tucker, too. I have no problem with Tucker. I think he's a solid, you know, team guy. Their main problem is they're very low in assists, and their defense and points allowed, they're 26th in the league. So they've got to improve that. But I think star power, I think getting like one really good player, like I'm not saying like they're going to get a player like this, but like a Kevin Durant, I think that would really, I mean, Kevin Durant would help any team, but I think like a guy like Kevin Durant would really, really benefit Phoenix and put him over the top.
Yeah, but, you know, let's say, you know, a player like Durant comes out. Phoenix is not a top option.
Well,
they're not
true.
Known for getting, you know, they're who are they known for? They're known for trying to overpay. They got Bark. Okay, you had that. But recently, you tried to overpay Eric Gordon. Didn't work. You had to overpay Eric Bledsoe to get him to stay.
They tried to get LeBron. Remember that?
Did they?
They had the most cap space. So there were rumors out there that they were the only team that could offer max money to LeBron outside of Cleveland and Miami.
Yeah, and they used their cap space so very well. And, you know, the people they've signed are just all bench players. You mentioned, you know, P.J. Tucker and both the Morrises and, Archie Goodwin. They're all bench players. None of those are starters. And the team just needs starters now. You have Knight, Bledsoe. If they don't sign Knight, that team is done.
Do you think it's an imperative that they re-sign Brandon Knight?
After that debacle and getting rid of both your point guards and then be like, well, we lost this guy, so you trade you
so
panic?
Yeah, I know what you're saying. So you lost – and also because of Brandon Wright being a free agent, so you lose Goran Dragic because it's perception. And that's why I think that's what happened also to Sam Presti in Oklahoma City, who we'll talk about in a second, is that the problem with the James Harden trade was that it wasn't the worst trade ever. It was the perception that they didn't get anything returned because Kevin Martin left in free agency a year later. So it made everything feel empty because the player that was the centerpiece on your end of the deal was gone. And that's what's going on with Phoenix. You don't want to have Brandon Knight walk in free agency, because if he leaves, then the perception by the media is that you let Goran Dragic and Isaiah Thomas walk away for nothing.
Exactly. All those trades eventually will be lumped together and be like, well, we got Brandon Wright for him, and then, you can't just have, we got rid of everybody, but yet we have all these people.
Is Gerald Green going to be with the team next year?
No.
He was a good fit, though.
I thought he was, too. And then once you got Isaiah Thomas, his numbers were sort of squeezed out, and then he just never got back in the favor, and, you know.
I think Hornacek's a smart guy, and I think they're going to keep it keep up with, like, the guard-heavy type of sets. So I think they'll figure out something. I think that he's smarter than some of the other coaches. It's just a matter of who they can get in free agency, because I do feel like they need to do something. Like, the last 2 years, I didn't feel that way about Phoenix. I felt like, well, just stay the way you are, and let's see how it works. Now you got to make a move. You got to do something really – you got to do something positive, or you're going to be going in the wrong direction again.
Exactly, and I just don't – you know, they need starters. None of, you know, you need to be – as much as we like the Morrises, they're not starters.
No. No, Markieff's better than Marcus, but if Markieff is your starting power forward, you're in trouble.
You know? Exactly, and who's even if they're starting three?
Well, right at the small forward position, it's Green, but if he's gone, then it would have to be Tucker.
Yeah, and Tucker's just a defensive guy.
Mm-hmm. So you're already pigeonholing yourself big time if you want to be an offensively minded team.
Yeah.
I hinted a little bit about Sam Presti and, you know, the infamous James Harden, the legend. Can we call it the legendary James Harden trade now? He's traded a league MVP, possibly.
It's taken on that proportion.
Okay, and we're going to talk about the only team among our Gone Fishing series that actually had a winning record, and that's the Oklahoma City Thunder. First of all, are you surprised that they're not in the playoffs at all?
Nope.
I
am. They did not look like a team, you know, they based upon the final week of, okay, all they had to do was just win a couple games, they would have been in, but... Throughout the season, we kept saying, like, well, where is this team? You have these two guys, so if one of the two goes out, you're screwed?
Here's my thing. I'm surprised that they didn't make the playoffs because of Russell Westbrook being so great. The fact that Ibaka, despite the late injury, was still playing really well. I thought that it was also because of the simple math. I thought the Suns were going to fall apart, and they did. I thought the Pelicans were going to fall apart, and they didn't. It took them about another like week to fall apart after they got into the playoffs. But that's another story. I was not surprised, however, that Scottie Brooks was fired. In fact, I thought that was happening last year.
Well, that just came down to one of the two had to go, and the GM's never going to fire himself.
No.
You know, it's wow. We weren't surprised. In fact, we even talked about it before it would happen. Everyone was like, this is a trade that'll put them over the top. They're finals contenders now. And we're like, somebody's going to get fired.
Everyone has talked ad nauseum about the Thunder. We even have on this show. They have let's get this out of the way. Their only restricted free agent is Enes Kanter, who they got in the Kendrick Perkins trade. I think they're going to try to keep him, because they liked what they saw out of him. He scored a lot higher than a lot of people thought he would. He averaged 10 rebounds a game in Oklahoma City. If they can get him at about $9 million, I think they'll try their best to keep him. Their only unrestricted free agent is Sebastian Telfair. After that, everybody is back in the fold. Durant going into the last year of his deal. Russell Westbrook, Serge Ibaka, Anthony Morrow, DJ Augustin, who they picked up, oh, God, who was the other one? Oh, Singler, huh?
Yeah.
Kyle Singler, who also is an unrestricted free agent, so I apologize for that. Singler and Telfair are the UFAs. Steven Adams, Mitch McGarry, Jeremy Lamb, Perry Jones, Nick Collison, who they just re-signed, Andre Robertson, they're all going to be back next year. This is going to be the same team next year. The only difference is that they're going to have a new coach, and Durant will be fully healthy.
Yeah, will he be fully healthy, or is it now he just coming down and more?
He's in a contract year. I'd be stunned if he had two unhealthy seasons in a row coming off of his contract. I'd be shocked.
I would too, but there's, you know, that's just that you never know with lingering injuries. Mm-hmm. And you know, don't forget they have allegedly Josh Huestis next year, and
that was a borrow so that they didn't have to pay a first round draft pick.
Yeah, well, they sort of, it's one of those things like Phoenix, like you sort of have to sign him now, or agents will be like, well, we don't
want
to.
Yeah, but do they want, that's the point, do they want Josh Huestis? I don't think
no.
They That's the problem.
I don't think they want him, but they.
That's what made people mad about it, because you wasted a first round draft pick. You know.
Well, you wasted it, and you found a way to get around it because you didn't want to pay him or have a roster spot.
Exactly,
for him.
Exactly. Philadelphia's doing the same thing right now.
So all it'll take is just agents be like, "Don't go there. We don't," you know, and then you sort of get shut out. And they have that. They have a lottery. You know, they got a lottery pick in a weak draft, allegedly.
Yeah, I mean, but you look at their numbers. I mean, this ain't the same as like Minnesota or LA or the Nuggets. I mean, they're eighth in points per game. They're second in field goal percentage defense. They were sixth in blocks. They were first in rebounding. They get to the free throw line a ton. They play fast. The problem was their defense was very uneven after Durant's injury because they played faster when Russell Westbrook got the ball.
Well, again, with Russell Westbrook, it was just Russell Westbrook and four players who happened to have the same jersey as him.
Exactly.
He was not a team player at any point.
Have to be. Scottie Brooks never told him he had to be.
And that's why Scottie Brooks is probably gone, because it's like, you know, there's one thing trying to will your team to win, but he was just willing himself.
Yeah, there is such a thing as being selfishly unselfish, if that makes any sense. Like, there are people that get triple-doubles because they know it looks good on their stat sheet. So when people say, well, Russell Westbrook can't be a selfish player because he gets triple-doubles, which means you get 10 assists. It's like, yeah, but you can do that purposefully because you just want the stats. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes maybe you have the purpose in mind of gobbling up the box score without worrying about the game.
Yeah, it's just like, well, I don't trust anyone else but me, so I'm just going to do it all myself.
Now, in his defense, I can understand why Russ felt that way after Durant went down.
But
that's a damning of Sam Presti because of the people around him.
Well, of course it is. It's, you know, Deion Waiters, they got another year of him.
Yeah.
So good luck with that.
Anthony Morrow, okay. DJ Augustin basically is now the backup point guard, who's not a bad option. You got Steven Adams. Steven Adams is good, though. I think of the draft picks they've had.
He didn't improve.
Yeah, he was the same player, but he still
Improve. He, you know, Ibaka didn't step up. The problem is they had no way to step up. Mm-hmm. And, you know, as you know, I famously joke, like Jeremy Lamb and Perry Jones. Yeah, that's what you got. That's what you come out of the Harden trade with. Mm-hmm. Two players who kind of suck.
It's true. You know, they combine for like 11 points.
And you have, you know, Durant going out. Okay, guys, go ahead. Now's your time to go in. This is what you practice for, right? Oh, you completely. No wonder Russell Westbrook's not going to pass anybody.
They have a lot in their arsenal, but what does Oklahoma City need?
To make it back to the playoffs, they just, you know, the simple answer is just stay healthy, and they should be back to being a four seed, no problem. What they need is veterans, not over the hill. Who's in there?
Like a Caron Butler. Like, that's not going to move the needle. You're saying they need something like Philadelphia way back in the day in the 80s when they got Moses Malone. Like, a guy like that? Or like, yeah. Barkley when Phoenix got Barkley? Something like that?
Yeah, you need somebody with a veteran leadership and to sort of run things from the second unit.
And fix the problem that you created by trading Harden.
Because who is their second unit?
Well, their second unit is the one that involves Jones, McGarry, and DJ Augustin.
You know? Yeah, that's not exciting anybody.
No.
And, you know, you had Derek Fisher was the one I was thinking of who was
who retired to become the Knicks coach, yes.
Yeah, but, you know, you need somebody like an Andre Miller type, you know, if he wasn't already 85 years old.
He's not good, though. Like, what I'm saying is, let me give you an example. Even if he's a free agent or not, I don't care. Like a Kevin Love. Like, if, say, Kevin Love went to Oklahoma City, or like a Klay Thompson, if he went to Oklahoma, that would be a game changer. That would be like, okay, this team's on the way. They're back to plus one. You know, they're not going backwards. You know, and the coach is important. The coach is important, whether it's Billy Donovan, who's been rumored heavily, whether it's, you know, somebody like Eric Spoelstra in Miami. I don't know who it is. Like, somebody that has a mindset of, this is what we're going to do, and we're going to stick to the game plan.
Yeah, but I don't even think you need, like, you know, to say DJ Augustin's really better than Andre Miller. They're both really not, you know, too wonderful.
So you saying they just need good solid veterans.
They need solid veterans who can, you know, because the players they've had showed them nothing. And they trade, you know, okay, you get rid of Perk for somebody who can actually run. You have Waiters who, man, didn't work out. But you have no bench still. And you just have young players who haven't shown anything, and you have young players who will be there for two more years.
I think what Pressy needs to do, and this is going to be a very delicate balance, is that he needs to find a player that's definitely good enough to be a complimentary player, but not so good that he tries to dominate the ball because of the Durant-Westbrook thing, and you don't want to blow up the chemistry there.
Like someone, if he didn't suck and was already too old...
Like a Rajon... Well, I don't...
I was going to say like a Udonis test. If Haslam wasn't, you know, 2 years past, somebody like him, just somebody...
A Boris Diaw.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Somebody like that would just come in, you know, do what he needs to do and not...
But those guys, you got to grow them. And that's what they were trying to do with these young guys, but it's just not working because it's hard for young guys to learn how to win together. You need other guys to show you how to win. And that's where they miss the boat.
Yeah, and that's why I'm anti-tanking, and I'm like, Philly should take notice of this. This
was
is your
Washington with Paul Pierce. You know, you called him the worst signing, and it looked like it. And now it looked like he was playing possum.
I think it was just sitting out the regular season.
Yeah, in the interview, when they beat Toronto in game one, they asked him, well, that was your highest scoring total in 2 months. He says, I was resting. He was resting half the regular season, he was basically saying.
So. Yeah, which is a shame that, you know, you can do that.
But the Thunder, they're not in that position. They can't rest. They need to get the best record in the West so that they can guarantee themselves home court throughout. And they, even after that, they might have to win an NBA title to convince Durant to stay. It's going to be very trepidatious.
Who cares about Durant signing 2 years from now? We're just worrying about next year. And
well, that's a dominant storyline next season. That'll be the dominant storyline.
Yeah, and it'll become annoying and just... It'll be over, you know, the same way Carmelo had to force his way out of Denver. It was just you keep mentioning it. There's no need to mention it. Everybody knows it's there. Mm-hmm. You're just talking for the sake of talking. Oklahoma City just needs they're you've homegrown too much. And you had your homegrown, you had your coach there too long. And it was just something that wasn't working. You tried it, you gave it, and it was there for too long. And you need to try different pieces at this point.
You think Kanter, you think they should try to kind of fish out a little higher in terms of salary to keep Kanter? Sign him at about $9 million or let him go?
Well, what do you replace him with? Steven Adams and...
Mitch McGarry.
That's exciting.
I mean, he played well. I can't lie. I mean, everyone in Utah hates him because he slammed the city out on the way out, but he played well in Oklahoma City. Now, was that just an audition? A Jerry Jack, as I say.
I think it was just an audition, but at that point, who's to say someone that's not like the Lakers or the Knicks will just be like, you know, maybe we should just overpay him. Because we can, you know, they have more of an opportunity to overpay. With, you know, okay, one, you know, basically be overpaid for 1 year. And then when the salary cap goes up, who cares?
Well, Oklahoma City, the only reason I say that with the big name is that this might be the last season in which Oklahoma City is really an attractive spot where it's a place where people want to go.
And but nobody's gone there.
But they've got to figure something out, Adam, because of the losing Harden has hurt him so bad.
They need to figure it out, but they haven't gotten – you can't call them an attractive spot if the best person you could get is like an Anthony Morrow or you haven't gotten any free agent signing ever to go there.
It's almost down to GM philosophy. Do you hit big or do you try to go for doubles and triples? It's that's going to be the most interesting one among to probably all of these teams that we talked about in this episode, but – you know, I think this one is with the Western Conference. I think a lot of these teams are probably going to be staying put. So when we do this episode next year, which I hope we're lucky we might, we might be talking about the same teams. But I hope for, you know, Kevin Durant, Russell Westbrook's sake, that it's not Oklahoma City.
That was going to be my question. So how many of these teams are going to make the playoffs next year?
I think the Thunder will definitely make the playoffs.
Just one? One team drops out?
I think the Jazz will make the playoffs.
Okay, two teams.
I'll go out on a limb and say that Utah makes the playoffs because they'll amp up the defense and they'll find some more athleticism and they'll find another guard.
Okay. I would also say two teams will make it.
But the Thunder, I just can't see them not in the playoffs. I think the Pelicans are going to slip back, and I think the Mavericks might slip back a little bit.
Okay, based on this, let's say Durant didn't get hurt, and the way he played this season, where would you put them? What seed?
This year, you mean?
Yes.
Oh, they'd be where Dallas is. They'd be a 7 seed.
Yeah, so it's not like they really were that good this year overall.
True. Like, at their best, they still would have been, like... Well, they were a 2 seed last season when Durant was the MVP, and Russell Westbrook was banged up a lot. So, what changed, you know, is the big question. And a lot of people, that's why the head coach got fired, because that's who they blamed.
Oh, yeah, the coach is, GM's not going to blame the GM. So he's supposed to save his job.
And Clay Bennett, you got to be careful with that man. This is a man that fired PJ Carlissimo only 2 months after Oklahoma City started their franchise there. I don't want to call him Mark Cuban-esque or like George Steinbrenner-esque, but he's close. He's close.
No, he's just another, he's just I don't want to pay the luxury tax. Here's your limit. Oh, you got all your players. I refuse to budge for Harden. So you make it work.
But no, I think this was a fun one. We're gonna probably be continuing with this one in the later weeks with teams that didn't make the playoffs. But the Western Conference is pretty fascinating. But on behalf of Adam Murray, this is Andrew Reich. Take care, guys.